This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about barriers to medical care. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. More than 62 million Latinos are living in the U.S., according to the most recent census data. In California, which is home to a large share of the country's Latino population, almost a fifth of them report that they are not able to speak English well. Language problems can be a barrier to getting medical care, and many Latino immigrant families rely on younger generations for translation and interpretation. Reporter Stephen Rascon has this story of one family trying to navigate the system.
Cynthia Hernandez lives in Bell, a city in southeast Los Angeles County, about a 20-minute drive from downtown on a good day.
Can I come in?
Stop, Lila.
That's her dog, Lila.
Hi, cutie. Cynthia, this is the first time I've ever been in your house.
Yeah? Welcome.
Cynthia lives in a mobile home community where she grew up with her parents and siblings. We've known each other for a while now. We met through mutual friends and bonded over shared experiences of growing up in Latino immigrant households. She shows me portraits of her parents, Maria de la Paz and Adalberto Hernandez. There's one from the 80s, one of those glamour shots from the mall. They have big smiles and big hair to match the era.
Yeah, I know. I love those photos.
Maria and Adalberto moved to Los Angeles in the 70s from Mexico. Her mother from Jalisco and her father from Aguascalientes. They met at a factory that made fabric swatches in downtown LA. Here's how Cynthia describes her mom.
Someone that loved to cook. She loved going to the gym, hanging out with her friends in the hot tub, in the jacuzzi, swimming with her friends at the gym. She liked taking the dog out for a walk, hanging out with her friends. They loved playing loteria.
She says her dad kept to himself, a handyman who liked to tinker with old appliances around the house.
He'll probably break something on purpose just to build it.
At home, they all spoke Spanish, but Cynthia and her siblings grew up speaking English too, so they helped their parents with translation, including on topics as important as healthcare. It's a role Cynthia embraced early on.
Kind of eavesdropping, really. Like, if my parents would call their health insurance plan, they would have them on speaker, and here I was, like, this 15-year-old child, like, you know, translating for my parents, because a lot of the things they wouldn't understand. So there I was trying to translate whatever I could. I probably knew a lot of, like, the medical terminology or dental terminology more in Spanish than I knew in English.
She would watch her mom play phone tag with different health plans all the time, trying to get someone who spoke Spanish on the line. I know the feeling. My grandmother always had really long phone calls with the insurance companies, and she would just have, like, a pile of papers in front of her going through all of them.
And that's really frustrating, and I think that's part of the reason why it was really frustrating for my parents to navigate the system, because here they are not being fluent in English and then playing phone tag with all these different medical groups, insurance companies, and then just navigating insurance. I kind of imagine how it was for someone that did not know how to navigate it, you know, in their language, in Spanish, like for my parents.
California strengthened pre-existing laws in the 2000s, requiring medical providers and health plans to offer language assistance to people who are not fluent in English. This meant if you wanted a medical interpreter, you could get one, in theory. But it can take a while to get an interpreter on the line. Sometimes patients don't even know they have the right. And so often, people end up relying on bilingual staff or their family members instead. Cynthia moved to San Francisco for college when she was 21. One summer, Cynthia's mom and her sister Diane took a road trip to visit her.
I was really excited to have my mom there because, you know, both of them had never been to my new apartment in San Francisco.
But her mom didn't seem the same.
I could tell that my mom was acting a little bit different. And also she was more sleepy. She wanted to sleep more. We kind of knew there was something off, but we didn't know what it was. Especially because my mom was very quiet. She was not a quiet person. She was very talkative and she always expressed how she was feeling.
A few months later, Cynthia found out what was going on with her mom. Maria was supposed to take daily blood pressure medication, but
my sister discovered that the medication that my mom thought was her blood pressure medication was actually antidepressants. That's when my mom had an epiphany. She's like, this is why I've been feeling so shitty. That's why I'm not feeling like myself, because I haven't been taking the right medication.
Maria said the new medication made her feel nauseous. It turns out the last time Maria went to pick up a refill for her blood pressure medication, she didn't meet with her doctor who spoke Spanish. Instead, Cynthia says her mom spoke with a different person, and that person didn't speak Spanish very well.
Estoy aquí para mi medicina para la presión, which translates to I'm here for my refill prescription for high blood pressure. We had asked her if this person spoke Spanish, and she said that no, that they only spoke English, and they just assumed that she said para la depresión, or medication for depression.
Cynthia thinks that the clinician misinterpreted la presión, which is Spanish for pressure, for la depresión, which is depression.
But my mom didn't know that. My mom thought that she had received the medication that she normally did, which was for her high blood pressure.
Cynthia's mom had never had a problem with her prescription before, and she was upset to find out that not only was she not taking her blood pressure medication, she had been taking antidepressants by accident.
She was definitely pissed off once she found out she was on the wrong medication, and really frustrated and just angry at the clinic, at the healthcare system, because she thought, how can this be? Like, how can you give me the wrong medication? How can you not look at my medical history? How much longer could I have lived like this before something worse happening to me? But at the end of the day, my sister and I just explained to her that it was ultimately not her fault, and that the reason why she was given the wrong medication is not because of her. It was because of the negligence at the medical practice.
Language barriers can lead to serious medical mistakes, but they're also a significant hurdle in seeking and accessing healthcare. Arturo Vargas Bustamante is a professor at UCLA School of Public Health. He researches health inequities in Latino communities.
In the case of the providers, sometimes it's difficult to communicate with patients because they don't speak English fluently, or they have to do this through interpreters. That could potentially the possibility of failures in communications, understanding the prescriptions.
Arturo says there's another reason for these communication errors for Spanish-speaking communities: California's shortage of Latino physicians. Arturo says while the Latino population continues to grow in California, the number of Latino physicians has not caught on. He co-authored a report on this inequity, which says an additional 54,000 Latino physicians are needed to meet the growing demand in the state. The report details that historically, Latino communities tend to be more under-resourced, making it difficult to pursue a career requiring years of medical school, followed by a residency.
Yeah, it's common because medical schools do not train enough Spanish-speaking physicians, and particularly Latinos. So given that the numbers are not that high, then the probability that someone who will be Latino and be able to communicate in Spanish serving in these communities is going to be lower.
After Maria told her story about the prescription mix-up, Cynthia wanted to know what the doctor did to fix the situation.
Once she went back to her clinic to let her doctor know that that doctor gave her the wrong medication, the doctor just immediately takes the prescription drugs and then she tosses them in the trash and then gives my mom the right medication. Because I think that she knew right there and then that she did something wrong and she could have been caught. And I think that she knew that if she gave back that prescription bottle to my mom could have filed a lawsuit because that was like evidence that that was the wrong medication.
The law does protect patients in this case. Not offering language services in healthcare settings for patients can be considered discrimination under civil rights law. The Affordable Care Act allows patients to sue their providers or health plan for medical mistakes caused by a language barrier. I reached out to the clinics that Maria went to regularly, but I was unable to get her health records. So I wanted to know, what options do patients have when providers don't provide language interpretation? And who's regulating this? The state agency tasked with protecting patients' healthcare rights in California is the Department of Managed Healthcare. It regulates the majority of health plans in the state for more than 28 million people. Mary Watanabe is the director.
So my job really is to make sure the plans are following the law and that consumers are getting the care that they need in a timely manner. And particularly with our very diverse population here in California, we want to make sure that everybody has access to services in their language if they need it.
A health plan is both a health insurance plan and the insurer that pays for the plan, like Kaiser Permanente or Blue Cross Blue Shield. The department can find health plans like these that don't comply with the law. And in case you're not sure of your healthcare rights, Mary says they also have a help center phone line for patients to report complaints or to direct them to the correct agency to file their complaint. I asked her how often they get calls through the hotline.
I will say that we don't get a tremendous number of complaints to our help center. But healthcare is really complicated, and I do think particularly for those that are non-English speakers, they may just not know that this is something they're entitled to or that we're available to help.
Cynthia says this is true for her mother. She didn't know she had a right to an interpreter and that help was available to navigate the complaint process.
I do not believe she did, no. Unfortunately, I think that my mom felt like she wasn't able to navigate that on her own either, and she didn't ask for help. And because she didn't ask for help, I just assumed that she was doing it.
Instead of filing a complaint through a process she likely didn't know, Maria's experience changed her own approach to healthcare.
She became very vigilant. She and my dad became very vigilant when it came to their health and just really asking questions. Like whenever they would go in for a procedure, asking the physician to explain everything that they were going to be receiving, whatever services they were going to be receiving. Very straightforward, being very vocal. So I think that it made them stronger advocates for themselves.
One positive development impacting language barriers in Latino communities came in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. Local health agencies started using more community health workers to spread COVID information in communities with limited English proficiency. These health workers are also known as promotores de salud, or lay health workers in Spanish-speaking communities. They're able to guide patients through all kinds of healthcare processes, from making appointments to getting treatment. And now, federal dollars are expanding funding for these services as part of a broader effort to eliminate health barriers by 2030. Still, experts in family medicine say the best way for providers to avoid language-related mistakes, like in the case with Maria, is to use a certified medical interpreter, especially if they're not confident in the language. I had planned to speak with Cynthia's mother, Maria, for this story, but before I could interview her, I got some terrible news from Cynthia about her parents.
They were on their way to Mexico, and they had already crossed the border. They were stopped at a toll booth in the second or third booth. And as they were waiting in line, a big rig ended up crashing into their vehicle and seven other vehicles. And unfortunately, my parents passed away in that accident.
This is Maria's last voicemail to Cynthia.
Hola. Ya te extraño mucho, también tu niño. I love you.
She says, I miss you a lot, and so does your boy, referring to Cynthia's cat. Her parents were taking furniture to their second home in Ensenada, Mexico, about a two-hour drive from San Diego. And the home was also where they stayed when they got dental work.
That's one big reason why my parents decided to seek services in Ensenada, because they just thought, for the amount of money that we're paying here, like, we can pay half or a quarter of that in Ensenada. And that's exactly what they did.
Cynthia's parents were on Medicare, but the dental insurance was too expensive, so they went to Mexico as an affordable option. They drove down at least once a month, maybe twice if they had to get major work done, like getting a crown. U.S.-Mexico border cities like Ensenada offer a large supply of healthcare services to medical tourists in need of healthcare. Most travelers going to Mexico are like Cynthia's parents, Latino immigrants from the U.S. who are familiar with the culture and the system, who may have fewer funds and options for healthcare services. But it wasn't just about that. Cynthia's parents had also befriended their dentist over time, someone they knew and trusted. Cynthia and her sister learned this when they went down to Mexico after their parents passed away while bringing back some of their things.
They were really good friends with my parents. And when they found out about my parents' accident, they were looking for us because they found out that we were going in and out of the country. We actually went to their practice in Ensenada. It was a small practice, just one room, really humble. So we knew that they had really good friends, and some of their friends happened to be the dentists that they had been going to for the past 20 years.
Today, Cynthia works in healthcare, helping communities in the greater Los Angeles area, including her hometown of Bell. She works for the nonprofit health provider Altamed. They specialize in healthcare for Latino and Spanish-speaking families. Cynthia says her biggest goal is letting these families know their support for them.
I think that it's frustrating to know that there's so many services and so much education that's available, yet people don't know about it. I've felt really passionate about coming back to Bell, doing my research on who has less in Bell, who has the worst health outcomes, what type of health is being neglected. It forces me to ask these questions, right, to kind of see it through a different lens and kind of go back to that child that was helping my parents with like translating all these services because of all the love that I had for my parents, you know, ultimately wanting them to be healthy individuals and wanting them to live long, healthy lives and wanting to have them in my life as long as I could.
That story was reported by Stephen Roscon and edited by Lucy Kang.